This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
Morning. All right, let's stand and take our copy, your copy of God's Word, and let's turn to Genesis chapter number 32. Last week, I wanted to begin preparing you for our revival, and I'm looking forward to the revival. I think we need a revival. I said last week, a revival is an experience with God. It's connecting with God on a physical and spiritual and emotional plane, and I believe that we need that today. This morning, if you would have came, Brother Trey preached this morning on repentance and did an outstanding job encouraging us to look to God and call upon God in repentance. And so that's what we're going to talk about a little bit about also today, about preparing our hearts to wrestle with God over the unholy habits in our lives, the bad decisions that we have made in our lives thus far, and how we need to take that to God in prayer. And say like the person within our text, Lord, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I want you to look at me in Genesis chapter number 32 and verse number 24 is our text, where we find an Old Testament character by the name of Jacob. Jacob, up until this point of his life, has had everything that he has ever wanted. He has lied, he has schemed, he has connived his way through life, basically overcoming all of his opponents until this moment. God at this moment is going to change and transform Jacob's life. Jacob, for the first time in his life, he's going to realize that he can't move another inch without holding on to the very hand of Almighty God. And there are some of you here today, you have won through life. You have used your intellect to get you ahead. You have used your business smarts to get you ahead. You've used your ability to get you ahead. You've been ahead of life. All your opponents, it seems like they are pushed aside and you move forward. You're your own man. You're choosing your own destiny. I want you to know that God's going to stop you in your place today and remind you of not only who you are, but who he is, if you will open up your heart and your mind to him today. Genesis chapter number 32, if you're there, say amen. Amen. Verse number 24, and Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? What an odd thing for God to say. What is your name? And the Bible says, Jacob said, my name is Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. What an unusual story of a man who actually wrestled God. We're going to dive into this morning. I want you to be seated in the time that we have, and I'm aware that our time is quickly slipping away from us, but I want to prepare our hearts to wrestle with revival. Wrestle for revival. Let's pray together, and then we'll dive into the text. Are you ready? Say amen. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us, but most of all, we thank you, Lord, for salvation. And I know, Lord, that our time may be slipping away, but in the time that we do have, I pray that you would order every word, Lord, as we look into your word, Lord, and establish it within our hearts. Without a doubt, there are some people sitting here today, Lord, that they need to wrestle with you in prayer. Lord, they need to work some things out in their lives before they experience revival. May we learn from the lessons of Jacob. May we learn, Lord, from this marvelous story. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people can say with me, amen. As I said in my prayer, I think there are some things that we need to wrestle with. There are some things that we need to come to terms with if we're going to experience revival. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to revival. This is one of the highlights of my year every single year, not because of the man who is coming, but because of the possibilities of all that God can do in and through a man that is sold out to him. And as my friend, C.T. Townsend, a friend for many, many years, I have watched him both in public and in private, and I know that he's a man of God, that he walks with the Lord, so I am anticipating to see not what the man can do, nor what the man can say, but how God can take a man and use him when he is sold out and surrendered to him. So I am excited about what God's going to do in revival. But for us to have a true spiritual revival, there are some things that you need to wrestle with first. There are some of you that you need to wrestle with some things in your mind. Your mind is not where it needs to be. Your mind is not thinking the right thing. The Bible talks about a spiritual mind is a transformed mind. That is, that mind is not on the unholy habits of the world. That mind is not on the things of the world, on carnal things, but that mind is thinking about things above. And you need to wrestle this morning in prayer with what's going on in your mind. How do I do that? By removing those distractions. The Bible tells us that we bring every thought into captivity. We actually seize it and hold on to it, and we bring that thought into captivity, into obedience to Jesus Christ. So some of you here today, you're thinking the wrong thing. Some of you here today, you've got your mind on the wrong thing. Your mind has wandered away from God. Your mind has wandered away from the things of God. And so God is saying today, if you want to experience revival, you've got to wrestle in prayer with some things concerning the thoughts in your mind. Not only do we wrestle with things in our mind, we need to wrestle with things with our will. That is, that my will needs to line up with God's will. We need to refuse to stand in the way of God's revival. That is, you've got to move yourself out of the way. You remember what John the Baptist said many years ago? John the Baptist said, I must what? Decrease. And he must what? Increase. In this revival, we ought to pray that prayer. Lord, let me decrease. Lord, let it not be me that's seen and heard. It's not about my song. It's not about the choir. It's not about what we can do, but it's about God, what you can do in and through me. And you need to wrestle through with the fact of taking some things out of your mind, removing it, and wrestling with your own will, refusing to stand in the way of God. And last of all, what about wrestling with your heart? What's going on in your heart today? Where does your heart lie? Some of you need to align your heart with the very heart of Almighty God. There are some things I'm saying that you need to wrestle with. And in all of your wrestling, whether it's with your mind, it's your will, it may be your heart or even your emotions, with all that you are wrestling with and should wrestle with, you also need to wrestle with God. That is, you need to come to God in prayer. You need to wrestle with God all night long in prayer. You need to take these things to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm not gonna let you go until you bless me. And this is where we find Jacob in Genesis chapter number 32. Jacob is at the crossroad in his life. Up until this point, he has prevailed over every single opponent that he's ever came up against. He has prevailed. He has pushed ahead. He is living what I would call the self life. It's all about Jacob. He has lied. He has connived. He has schemed his way through life. And he's become very wealthy and prominent in doing so. He has pushed his way through the self-life, and he finds himself having everything that he has ever wanted up until now. Every opponent he has faced, he has beaten through lies, conniving, scheming, and manipulating until now. A new rival comes into his life, and this new rival is God himself. You'll find in the text this new rival in Jacob's life is going to confront him. This new rival in Jacob's life is going to challenge him. But this new rival in Jacob's life will also change him forever. Now, you need to know the background of what's going on to understand Genesis chapter number 32. Up until this point, Jacob has deceived his father. He has despised his brother's birthright, and he is literally damaging his own testimony. He's a liar. He's a conniver. He's a schemer. All of these bad decisions in Jacob's life has finally caught up with him. Bad decision after bad decision. A lie after lie. Scheme after scheme. All these things have finally caught up with him. Now Jacob's heart is filled with fear. You see, 20 years has passed since Jacob has been in his homeland. He stole from his brother. He deceived his father. He's damaged his testimony. And after 20 years, he decides to go back to his homeland. And a messenger came and said, "Your brother's looking for you." Now, Jacob knows that this is not a reunion. Jacob fears in his heart this is revenge. And everything that he has accumulated, his family, his cattle, his wealth, all of a sudden he sees that his brother who he despised, his father who he deceived, his own damaging testimony has now caught up with him. Bad decision after bad decision, and he is fearful for his life. Maybe you're like Jacob today. Maybe you have made bad decision after bad decision. And right now, at this moment, you realize that those bad decisions are finally catching up with you. Well, you can lie your way out of this situation. You can connive your way out of that situation. You can manipulate yourself out of this situation. But now you've come to a dead-end road, and there's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to hide. There are no more lies. There are no more tricks in your bag. You're going to have to confront the ugly truth of your terrible decisions that you have made. This is where Jacob is at. And all of a sudden, for the first time in this lying, conniving, scheming individual's life, his heart is filled with fear. He realizes that he can lose everything because Esau is on his way. We find in the text, as Jacob is contemplating all of these bad decisions, preparing for what he believes not to be a reunion, but revenge from Esau, he's all alone and he begins to pray and call upon God. And in that moment of a bankrupt spirit, when he realized there's nothing else that I can do to get myself out of this, there's no more tricks that I have. There's no more. I've ran out of lies. I have to confront the ugly truth of my bad decisions. In that moment, he begins to wrestle with God, and God shows him what sort of person Jacob has become. And that experience, men and women, is going to change Jacob's life forever. And today, when you come this morning, bankrupt in your spirit, you have no more lies to offer. You can't cheat your way out of it. You can't scheme your way out of it. And God exposes the sort of person that you are, that you're a sinner, that you are lost without God, that you need the Lord's help. When God shows you of what sort of person you are, you wrestle with God today in prayer, God will change and transform your life just like he did Jacob. I want to dive into this morning. Let me show you what sort of person wrestles with God. Number one, Jacob was a bewildered person. He was a bewildered person. Now, without proper guidance, it's easy to get very confused. And that's what the word bewildered means. Jacob is confused at this moment in his life. So without proper guidance, it's very, very easy for any of us, right? Without guidance, it's easy for any of us to get confused. I was reading about an older man that was late in his 80s, and he's driving around with some friends, and he is going so slow that the state patrol pulls him over. He pulls him over and says, "Sir, why are you going so slow?" He said, "I always go by the signs." He said, what sign? He said, that sign over there, it says 20. He said, well, sir, that's not a speed limit sign. That's a highway sign. You're on highway 20. And he said, oh. Well, he looks in the back seat and he sees two other older people who look petrified. And he said, are you two okay? Can I help you? He said, we just turned off of I-21. And he always drives by the signs. So proper guidance will help you to make better decisions. Somebody say amen. And this is where Jacob is at. Without the guidance of God in his life, he is confused and he is very bewildered. He's battling a confused life. As I said, after 20 years, he says, I'm going to go back to my homeland. He finally decides to return, according to Genesis 31, verses 38 and verse number 41. But he learns that Esau is on his way, and his heart is filled with fear. So maybe this morning your heart's filled with fear. I don't know what you're afraid of. Maybe you're afraid of the future. Maybe you're afraid of what this war is going to do on our country, how it's going to affect our world, how it's going to impact our personal lives. Maybe you are filled with fear today and you are living in confusion. You need somebody to guide you. You need somebody to break up the bewilderment and to bless you and to encourage you. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones many years ago said it this way about fear. He said, when a man is defeated by life, it is always due ultimately to the fact that he is suffering from a spirit of fear. Let me read that again. When a man is defeated by life, it is always due ultimately to the fact that he is suffering from a spirit of fear. That spirit of fear is the real, the ultimate cause of all the failure in life and all of unhappiness. Another man said, fear is that little dark room where negatives are developed. Some of you, you've got these negative thoughts. You've got this negative attitude. You've got this negative atmosphere that you're living in, and all of a sudden you are bewildered. You are confused. You can't use your money to get yourself out of the mess. You can't use your lies any longer to get yourself out of the mess that you're in. You are confused. You're living in chaos. You are bewildered, just like Jacob. And he is thinking about the negative things of life. And what is happening is, in that moment, in that dark hour, God is breaking him down and showing him what sort of man he really is. Jacob is so fearful that in chapter 32, verses 7 to verse number 12, he begins to plead with God for God to deliver him. Listen to what he says in verse number 7. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him and the flocks, the herds, the camels into two bands. He said, you go over there. You go over there. You take this cattle there, you take that cattle there. He divides up his wealth, he divides up his family because he's afraid that Esau is going to slaughter and to kill him and take revenge because of what he had done. He divided them up in two bands and said, if Esau come to one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. Jacob said, oh God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred. I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies and of all thy truth which thou hast showed in thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I have become two bands. Lord, deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me, and the mother with the children. And thou sayest, I shall surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered afore a multitude. If you read what's going on with Jacob, he had experienced God there in Bethel. He had an experience of God's power and of God's might. And the Lord tells him, I want you to go back to your homeland. And in obedience, he tries to go back to his homeland, but yet knowing his brother, whom he stole his birthright, he's there waiting on the other side, and he's scared, and he's afraid, and he is calling out to God. Do you see what's happening here? God is taking this bewilderment. God is showing him what sort of person he is. And he asks the Lord, Lord, deliver me. Now, God is not going to deliver him through the means of an angel. God is not going to deliver him through the means of a verbal command. Nor is God going to deliver him through the means of a miracle. God decides to visit Jacob, listen now, personally. And Jacob is going to be one of the only men in the Bible that will lay hands upon God and wrestle with God all night long. I want you to see the reality of this moment in verse number 24. The Bible says Jacob was left alone and there he wrestled all night long. Here is Jacob saying, oh, woe is me. What's going to happen? What am I going to do in my life? And there alone in that solitude, God comes to him and God begins to wrestle with Jacob as Jacob begins to wrestle with God. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do this week. I'm going to ask you to intentionally get alone with God. I'm talking about some times of just you and God without any television, without any cell phone, any type of distraction whatsoever, just you and God. One-on-one, all alone, and you bring your will to God, and you bring your mind to God, and you bring your emotions to God, and you wrestle with God and say, Lord, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. You know what he's saying? God, I'm not going to let you go until you change me. Somebody say amen. It's in that moment of solitude that God begins to do his greatest work. I read this week where one guy said solitude is the audience chamber of God. It's like God's megaphone to get a hold of your attention. We find this real reality moment where he is alone with God and he's battling with God. But watch this. Here's the arrival or the rival in the match. This new opponent steps on the scene, verse 24 and verse 29. Jacob was left alone and there wrestled with him until the breaking of the day, a man with him, until the breaking of the day. Look at verse 29. And he said, thou shalt be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hath prevailed. There wrestled a man with him. Now, who is this mysterious person that walks into his tent and is there wrestling with him all night long? Well, we know from Hosea chapter number 12, verse 3 to verse 5, who this stranger is. Listen to what the Bible says. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel and prepared. The Bible calls him an angel. And what you have here in Hosea chapter number 12 and verses 3 to verse 5, this word angel is what theologians call a theophany. A theophany is a picture of Jesus, or it is the manifestation of Jesus, the second person of the Trinity before Bethlehem. You see, Jesus just wasn't born in Bethlehem. He was God from all of eternity. If you believe that, say amen. Well, we know that from John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, John said. So we know that Jesus, he is coexistent, co-eternal. He is no less God than God the Father, God the Holy Ghost. He is the manifestation of God. If you believe it, say amen. Theologians call this a theophany. This is what Jesus was doing before Bethlehem. In the Old Testament, he comes as the angel of the Lord. And as the angel of the Lord, he grants forgiveness. As the angel of the Lord, he accepts worship. When you read in the book of Revelation, when John seen the angels, John fell down before that angel and began to worship that angel. And do you remember what the angel said to John? He said, get up, don't worship me. We only worship one person. He said, I'm just like you. I'm a servant of the Lord. Don't worship me. We don't worship angels, but we worship the one that created them. Somebody say amen. And what you have here is a theophany. This is God. This is Christ in the camp meeting with old Jacob. Dr. Kent Hughes describes this epic moment with these words. Listen to this. Jacob could see nothing. He's in the dark. Jacob could see nothing. The assailant was silent and nameless, but Jacob, no pushover himself, rose mightily to the occasion. And that long night, 6 or 7 hours, became one of burning sweat dripping from his hair and his beard. There came brief periods of labored breathing, and then renewed fury, gouging, pulling, and pushing, and then more rage and more pain and thirst, a smothering of frustration unknown to Jacob throughout most of that agonizing night. He was wrestling with a divine being. He was wrestling with God. It was Alan Ross that said, "The fact that the match lasted till daybreak is significant, for the darkness symbolized Jacob's situation. Fear and uncertainty had seized his heart." Do you see where Jacob's at? He is alone and he is in the darkness, and it will be in that solitude and in that silence that God is going to break through, and God is going to wrestle with Jacob and show him what sort of man he is and who he can be when God touches him. All men and women, I want you to know, in the silence and the solitude of the night, when you are praying and wrestling with God, you're wrestling over your mind, you're wrestling over your emotions, you're wrestling over what's going on in your spirit, and you're wrestling with God in prayer saying, "God, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me." It is those moments that God does his greatest work within us. If you believe it, say amen. He is a bewildered man, but also he is a broken man. Look at verse 26. The Bible says, "And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let you go, except thou bless me." Do you hear the urgency in his voice? Look at verse 27. What about his response of honesty? Watch this. "And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, my name is Jacob." Now, isn't it odd to you that God said, "Hey, what's your name?" Is it possible for God to learn? Is it possible for God to discover? Well, of course God knew his name. God knows all things. Somebody say amen. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He knows all things. God knew exactly who Jacob was, but God wanted Jacob to know who Jacob was. And today, you may know who God is. You may know him as Savior. You may know him as Sovereign Lord, but you don't know yourself. You need to know that you are a sinner. You need to know that without God on your side, that hell's going to be your home. You need to know without the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ and a confession and repentance of your sin, as he preached on this morning, without that, there is no hope for heaven. If you want to be saved, you ought to be saved today. If you know, friend, without a shadow of a doubt, that Jesus Christ is the King of glory, that he's the risen Savior, and you believe that within your heart, and you know that you can't forgive your sins, and I can't forgive you of your sins, and the church can't forgive you of your sins, and you realize that there's only one place that you can find help, that I say today, run to the cross, run to him, come to Jesus today. Somebody say amen. Amen. Old Jacob is there, and God is showing him who Jacob is: a lying, conniving deceiver, living in the darkness all alone. Jacob begins to wrestle with God. It's in this brokenness and in this bewildered moment that Jacob's going to receive the greatest blessing of his life. Look at verse 30 as we look at this moment of a holy encounter. And the Bible says, "And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen" who? God. It wasn't an angel. It wasn't a representative. I had seen God face to face. Now, I don't know about you, but this is pretty intriguing. Jacob's, he's bad to the bone. Huh? He's no wimp. Somebody comes into his tent at night, he gets up and he starts fighting. And he's actually prevailing with God. As a matter of fact, God has to stop the fight by touching, the Bible says, the hollow of his thigh. And all of a sudden, as he touches the hollow of his thigh, his leg, his hip goes out of joint. And the fight stops. No longer can Jacob stand like he did a few moments ago. No longer can he wrestle like he did a few moments ago. For the rest of his life, Jacob's going to have a brand new walk. And I want you to know, friend, when you wrestle all night with God, God's going to give you a brand new walk. Somebody say amen. God's going to touch you in such a way that when people see you coming, it don't matter how far away Jacob was, they could see him coming down the road. And everybody knew, here comes Jacob. How do you know? That's that guy limping. That's that guy with that limp. Here comes old Jacob. From that moment to his death, everybody identified that is the man Jacob that wrestled with God because he had a new walk. And I want you to know, one of the greatest testimonies that could ever happen of any of us in here is that our lives has been so changed and radically changed that people know us by a brand new walk. We don't walk the way of the world. We walk the ways of the Lord. We don't say the things that the world say. We talk about the things of God. We've got a verse on our lips and a song on our heart, and we have prevailed with God in prayer, and God has changed our life. That's what revival's all about. Somebody say amen. His bewildered, broken life now becomes blessed because God touched his life. And he said, I'm going to change your name. And Curtis, you can come to the piano. Not that Curtis, but this Curtis. God's going to do something for Jacob that he needs to do for you. He changes Jacob's name. Listen now. For all of his life, Jacob has prevailed. He's beat every opponent. Not by his strength, but by lying, conniving, scheming, manipulating, twisting things around. He's able to get his way, but not this time. And he wrestles with God all night long until God touches him and he stops. He says, Jacob, from this day forward, I'm going to bless you. No longer is your name Jacob, but your name is Israel. Do you know what the name Israel, the idea behind the name Israel, what it means? It means God fights. No longer is Jacob fighting to get ahead. No longer is Jacob fighting to prevail. God fights his battles. Forever his name would be a reminder, it's God that's fighting your battles. You need to realize today, friend, you can't fight your battles all by yourself. All the tools that you have, humanly speaking, is never going to get you where you need to be. You need God to fight your battles. You know, Vladimir Putin may have a lot of power. He may have a lot of resources. But can't you say amen with me today that we know a God that's more powerful than Russia? Somebody say amen. Do we not serve a God who's more powerful than the military might of the world? Yes. And what God told Jacob is what God needs to tell us today. I'm going to change who you are. No longer will you fight, but I will fight on your behalf. And today, still today, in the land of Israel, God fights on the behalf of the land of Israel. And when all hell begins to break out on planet Earth and the Antichrist does his very best to stamp out the existence of Israel, God himself will mount upon a milk-white stallion. He will ride from the heavens all the way down to planet Earth, and he will set up a kingdom where he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and God once again will fight for Israel. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. And in this church age, just as God fights for Israel and for Jacob, God fights for you. He fights for you today against the spiritual darkness that comes up against you, against the problems in your marriage, the problems in our world. God fights on your behalf. But that didn't happen until Jacob decided, I'm not going to let you go, Lord, until you bless me. I'm going to ask you to come today and come to this altar and wrestle with some things going on in your mind. You need to wrestle with some things that's happening within your spirit. You need to wrestle with your will, having your will to line up with God's will. You need to wrestle ultimately with God in prayer and say, Lord, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. Can you say it? I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Again, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.